Great fun. We had some fun this afternoon, didn't we, worship team? Yeah, it was great. Hope you enjoyed some of the songs. We're going to be working on loads of new ones and just bringing that and just, you know, freshening up, tightening up, and enjoying just worshiping the Lord with music and with psalms. And that's a great thing to do, isn't it? It's a good. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. It's good to worship, good to praise, good to have a happy sound in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Absolutely. It's great. So I wanted to talk to you this afternoon, or evening, actually, isn't it? Yeah. And really, it's on mission. And I'm so pleased that you were saying that, you know, you're focusing on reaching out. So this is fantastic. And I really believe that the Lord is saying to churches all across Wales right now, it is time to be reaching out. There is so much going on, and you probably know some of it. Let me just give you two or three little stories around Wales. Is that okay? Because as I travel the four corners of Wales, I was in Carnarvon on Friday night. Let me get it right. We were preaching there, preaching in Flint Saturday morning, preaching in Barry this morning. So it's, you know, just all across the whole of Wales, and we're in different towns most days and seeing what the Lord is doing. Here's just a few stories of what the Lord's doing across Wales. Over in Barry, my friend Mike Holmes is now leading the church there on the Calcott Estate. Over the last 6 weeks, they have seen 25 teenagers come to the Lord for the very first time in their lives. Now, isn't that amazing? Even the bells agree. You know, if you don't say, if you don't praise the Lord, even the very bells will cry out. There you go. Oh dear. And it's just been, I was talking to Mike and he says, it's just been amazing. These young, they've just been moved by the Spirit. And they've come to these meetings and it's just been like, wow, powerful stuff. Up in Abertillery in the summer there, they had a week's mission and decided to go out onto the streets, pray with people, offer people prayer, share the message of Jesus. Over that week, they saw 50 people make a decision to say, I want to be a follower of Jesus. Isn't that great? In Abertillery. And a little bit further up the valley from there, in if you know Beaufort, up above Ebbw Vale, there's a friend of mine up there leading a church called Wayne Evans. Anybody know Wayne? He used to be a bank manager from the Gwendraith Valley down in the west. Great guy. And anyway, they've been running, you know, food bank and CAP center and reaching into the community. And over the last just, well, maybe 9 months in total it's been, but they went from a church of 35 to 90, and loads of people have come to faith and found the grace of God. Isn't that amazing? Now, during the summer in Bridgend, one of our partner churches from the US were over with us, and they've been running mission in Bridgend for the last 6 years now. So it's quite a sort of polished sort of track that they're running on, so it's beginning to reap some of what's been sown over the years. Over the week of mission, 220 people gave their lives to Christ, which is pretty outstanding, isn't it? You know, and I know you know all about what's happening in Victory Church, and you know, since mid-April until now, they're estimating now it's around 1,100 people have given their lives to Jesus. Now, that's an awful lot of people coming to faith, isn't it? You know, when did we last see that in Wales? It's been a while, and it's just great, and I think we should just praise the Lord for what he's doing. Now, as I travel all over, I'm seeing pockets, you know, ones, twos, fives, tens, all over. But those are just some stories. And it's just such a joy. And preaching the gospel these days brings such a dynamic sense that God is here and he's doing something. And there's an expectation in the hearts of his people. And I want to encourage you today to say, look, let that expectation level begin to rise. Begin to believe for more people to come to faith. Begin to believe for God to do something amongst you that he's never done before. More than you've ever seen before. Who's up for that? Amen. Great. Okay. So let me speak into this whole thing of mission, if I may. And just the next 2.5-3 hours, I'll try to keep it, you know, really kind of there. But I just want to speak to that. So here's the first thing I want to say, right? You all know this verse really, really well. But understanding that we as the church, as God's people, are called, commissioned, sent, and empowered by God to carry the good news and the grace of God into our world is a foundation of a mission mindset, isn't it? You've got to know, and I've got to know, deep within our knower, that God has empowered and sent us before we go. Otherwise, we are timid, weak, unsure, uncertain. But knowing that we are sent and empowered by God makes the difference in the mindset of the church. Here's the verse. Go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I'm with you every step of the way. Didn't he say that? I'm with you always to make it happen. Awesome. And so often in the churches, we have been so weak and timid, and we've, you know, given leaflets out and think that's enough. Or we've put on an event, and if one or two people turn up, well, they're the ones the Lord sent. And there's been a timidity about the church in Wales for too long. What do you say we begin to get bold? What do you say we begin to understand that God has sent us and empowered us and called us and commissioned us and said, I am with you, go. Think that might make a difference to our mindset? Have a look at this that I've put on the screen here. The one who sends us is our authority to go. Who might agree with that? Anyone here agree with that? Tell you what, if you agree, you can say so. How's that? I give you full permission to call out, clap, sing, stand on seats at any good points at all through the night. Is that okay? Excellent. Because you know, we had that deal. Remember, we struck it up when I first came, and I said, if you respond and say, yeah, and clap, and good point, and amen, and I'll finish really quickly. That's the way. But if you sit there, you know, arms folded, and you're in sermon mode, I'm just going to go on and on and on. But the simplest, clearest, most important command that Jesus ever gave the church was a two-letter, single-syllable word. Go. And I often wonder to myself, which part of the word go do I not understand? Yeah? The Father sent the Son. He cooperated by what? By going. The Son sent the Spirit. He cooperated by going. The Holy Spirit sends us. We need to cooperate by going. Yes? You understand? It's a sending and a going. He's great. He's going to cut so much time off the sermon. That's great. Look at this verse. Jesus said this when he was speaking to the disciples. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Can you catch that? Can you understand what that means? Jesus is saying, in the same way that the Father turned to me, sitting at his right hand at the place of co-regency, and said, Son, would you go? Would you go and rescue the broken world? And I said, yes. In the same way that the Father commissioned and empowered and sent me, I'm sending you. That's powerful. That's amazing. Not just my idea to go, but I'm sent with an authority and a power on my life to go and accomplish the mission that I've been called to. Here was his commission to the disciples, the passing down, if you will, of spiritual authority from the Father through the Son, through the Spirit, to the disciples, to us. The chain of command is not broken, is it? It is still with us. And the word and the command is still alive in our hearts. Go, and I'm with you every step of the way. I want to put this on the screen. Going is an attitude before it becomes an action. Come on, anybody agree with that? You know, it's got to become an attitude of heart and mind and spirit before we take the first step, isn't it? But going is an attitude. It's understanding I'm called, sent, empowered, commissioned by God. He is with me every step of the way. Then when I go, that attitude informs what I do. You with me? That's what makes the difference. And if we try to do work of the gospel and go and serve the Lord and take the message out without that understanding, in and of ourselves, we do not have the confidence nor the faith and nor what we need to do the work. We need to understand He is with us. He has called us. He has sent us. He is with us. And that makes all the difference. It's the authority of God on His people that makes the difference. It's a spiritual mindset, a spiritual disposition. I am the one who has been commissioned and empowered and sent by the highest authority in heaven or earth. And this sending mandate is still on the church. It's been coming from heaven to God's people since the earliest times. Let me quickly run through some of these. Next slide says this. You remember Abraham? Abraham at Genesis 13. God says to him, look north, south, east, west. Lift your eyes up from where you are. All the land you can see, I will give you. Here's the line. Now, go, walk throughout the length and the breadth of the land, because I'm giving it to you. What's the operative word in that whole verse? Go. Huh? Next verse, Moses saying to God, God, I don't want to go unless you're with us. And the Lord says to Moses, my presence will go with you. This is amazing. God is with his people. God is with us. That when we go, when we move into mission mode, when we start to become bold and courageous, contagious in our sharing of the good news of Jesus, the best news that this broken world will ever have, when we become convinced of it, when we are confident in it, when we are assured of it, when we know we are sent and empowered and the presence and the power of the Spirit is upon our lives and we go and do it, we know his presence is with us. He is walking with us. He's in us. He's on us. He is all over us. And as we share that message, it's not in timidity, but it's in the power of the Spirit. Amen? That's what we need. We're going to be here till about midnight at this rate, guys. Just to let you know. That's all right. Isaiah is next. Look at Isaiah. He goes up to the temple on that day, just to the meeting, and suddenly, presence of God is there, isn't it? And the place is shaking. And the presence and the weight of God's glory descends. And Isaiah is undone. And he says, oh my goodness, I am so in trouble here because I am just a man and all my weaknesses are right before me. And God is here. Now that's when you know God shows up, right? And his response to meeting God, to encountering God, is this. Here I am, send me. It's amazing, anyway, when we encounter God, what is the response of the heart? And the Lord said to him, go. Amazing. This mission heart has been running right through from earliest times. I want to say this. Throughout the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is sending the disciples out all the time. Acts 2, what happens when the Spirit falls on the day of Pentecost into that upper room? Did they have an extended worship time? What did they do? They went out. They went straight out onto the streets with courage, boldness, and authority and began to declare the works of God, who God was, to people who were outside of the kingdom. Yes? And what happened? 3,000 people came into the kingdom on that day. Yes? You understand the principle? Right. Acts 13. You remember that the teachers and the prophets were together at Antioch Church. They're praying, they're waiting on the Lord. And the Holy Spirit says, all right, separate Saul and Barnabas for the work to which I've called them. It's time for mission. And it says that they laid hands on them and prayed, and when they had done that, they sent them out. And that was the beginning of the Gentile mission, of the move of the gospel into the world outside of Israel. Amazing. It starts, it begins being sent. That's what we have to understand who we are. The Holy Spirit is apostolic. That means that he is both the one who sends and the one who is sent. The word simply means send, apostello, send. The Holy Spirit is an apostolic spirit. He's a sending spirit. He sends people into mission. He himself was sent. Therefore, he sends his people into mission. And for those with ears to hear, the Holy Apostolic Spirit is still imparting a sending mandate into the church today. And those who respond, hear this, catch this if you catch nothing else. Those who respond with faith and obedience to the Apostolic Spirit are in effect apostolic people and can do the works of God and bring the kingdom with power and effect into a region or a city or a village or a community. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come on, you can say amen. Come on, we'll get there one day. You'll say it one day. I know you will. David Canestrasi says this in his book, The Gift of Apostle. He says this, the world will be changed when the church is transformed into an apostolic people, a company of apostolic people. Do you understand what we're talking about? When everybody in the church understands that they are a missionary, that they are called, empowered, commissioned, sent, God is with us, every individual, and we go talking about the love of Jesus, bringing the message of His grace into people's lives, praying for those who are sick, praying for those who are lost, being God in our community. He says He's with us, and the signs and the wonders will accompany the preaching of His message. Come on, are you with me? Is it not time for the church to become bold? I mean, why should it only be happening in Beaufort, Ebbw Vale, Abertillery, Barry, Cardiff, Cwmbran, Bridgend? Why not Caerphilly? What He's looking for is a people of faith and obedience who will rise to the challenge of saying yes to the apostolic spirit and begin to become an apostolic people. Yes? Good point, Rob. Excellent. Amen. And this sending mandate is everywhere in the scriptures once you see it. It's like that, isn't it? You see something in the scriptures and suddenly you think, huh, I've read this thing so many times, and there it is, boom. And then you find it everywhere. Think, how does that happen? Does God slip extra words in? No, it's just my eyes have been opened to see. And this sending mandate is everywhere in the scriptures. Next scripture comes up. Listen to this. Jesus, at the beginning of His ministry, Luke 4:18. It's an iconic passage. He goes into the synagogue, and they hand Him the scroll, and He opens it up, and He finds the place where Isaiah 61 begins. And He reads some of the most powerful and iconic words of the Old Testament, which is this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Here it comes, here's the line: "He has sent me." Catch that? This is Jesus reading the scroll of Isaiah in the synagogue, and He's about to embark upon the greatest mission trip the world has ever seen. He says, "Because He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolls it back up and He gives it back to the attendant, and then He says the most awesome words: "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And from that moment, He began to set people free who were possessed by demons. He began to raise the cripples. He began to open the eyes of the blind, open the ears of the deaf, the mouth of the dumb. He began to raise people from the dead to demonstrate that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord was with Him and that God was with Him and that mission was about going. Awesome, isn't it? Amazing. That's the model that He wants us to buy into. That's what He's expecting us to do. Jesus uses this Isaiah 61 passage to validate His mission. He wants to demonstrate and show and explain to everyone who could understand that He was one who was sent by the Lord. He wasn't doing it on His own account. Are you with me? He was sent by the Lord. Now, just for a moment, just imagine this. You've been called by the Welsh government to a new job. And that is to go to a big office block. Let's say we'll go right into the middle of Nairobi in Kenya. How's that? Huge palatial office, big team of staff, big desk, huge chair, all of that. Your job, Carwin Jones personally has kind of given you this mandate job, to go and explain and declare the wonders of the Welsh weather to the people in Nairobi. How does that sound? Impossible. There you go. I needed something impossible. So you go, and they fly you first class, and you've got an entourage, and you've got secretaries and advisors and all of the stuff, you know, and a nice new suit. And somebody in the, and you start doing your job, advertising the Welsh weather to the people of Nairobi. And people say to you, over there, "Who do you think you are, coming here, telling us about Welsh weather?" What's your response? "Hey, listen, I've been sent. I was sent. This is my job. And if you've got a problem with that, there's a government in Wales who have sent me, have commissioned me. In fact, all the AMs were lined up when I got up the red carpet, up the steps on the plane, waving me off, and they gave me these letters of commission to come here and do this job. Now, would you go and do it?" "Absolutely." "Well, let me tell you this. You have an even more powerful, more validatory mandate than that. You have been sent by the highest authority in heaven or on earth, with the greatest message that this world will ever hear, and God has said to you, go and share it. Go and share it with your friends, with your neighbors, with your colleagues, with your family. Go and share it with the people in your street. Go and share it with everybody you come into contact with in a natural, normal, easy way, and I am with you every step of the way. Now, come on, what could be easier than that? Yes? And you think, am I just talking notes here? No, I'm not. I want to tell you a little bit about my story just for 2 minutes. See, when I first got saved as a teenager, after an accident that shattered my spine and left me paralyzed, and then I had someone come pray for me, and you know the story, you know some of it. It's a long story. But when I really found God, and it was an amazing moment, He broke in on my life, changed my life as a 17-year-old. Within a month of encountering the Lord, and it was as powerful as that, I was on the streets preaching, singing, just telling the message. Saw loads of people come to faith. And the amazing thing was, God did a phenomenal work in my family. And I'm no better than anybody else. I mean, I really don't deserve any of the grace that God has poured out on my life. My brother came to faith. My mother came to faith. I led my gran to the Lord when she was 75. That was great. And buried her when she was 98. She had died, by the way. Sorry, I just should say that, shouldn't I? Good night, Nan. See you in eternity's morning. Reading 1 Thessalonians 4 across the grave. Those who die in the Lord, not with sorrow. Yeah, we grieve, but not as those without hope. Huh? My sister came to the Lord. My two nieces, my sister-in-law, brother-in-law. And it took 26 years of prayer before my dad came to the Lord. He's nearly 88 now, and he's been in the Lord for 12 years. It's just been amazing. And God has done an amazing thing. So I understand what I'm talking about. Go to those that you have relationship with and share the best message in the most ordinary way and watch what God does with it. But you have to understand you are sent, empowered, anointed. You are the ones that God has commissioned to go and teach the good news about Jesus to the people that you know. Okay, let's go to the next verse here. Jesus is speaking, and he's saying this. The harvest is plentiful. There's a huge harvest out there. The fields are white. In fact, the harvest is like groaning. There's so many lost people out there. I mean, do you have to go far to find someone who is lost these days? No, you don't, do you? Probably next door. Maybe in the same door. Maybe in the same street. Maybe at work. Maybe at school, at college. Maybe a friend. Maybe, you know, there's so many people close to us who don't know the Lord yet. And Jesus said, the harvest is massive. It's like those two shoe salesmen, you know? And he goes over to a country where people don't wear shoes. So one of them rings back to the company and says, pointless you sending me here. They don't wear shoes. I'm coming home. The second one rings up and says, send me loads and loads of containers. There's no competition here. Now, which kind of viewpoint are you going to take? Do you understand? The harvest is plentiful. But what does Jesus say we should do? Pray for the Lord of the harvest to what? Send workers into the field. That's what God is looking for. Workers to go, workers who are willing to be sent, to be empowered, to be released, to go and do what he wants them to do. Any workers here willing to say, here I am, send me, rather than here I am, send him? There's a lot of people who would say that, isn't there? But that's what he's looking for. Those who are to reap the harvest are those who know and understand that they've been sent. Not just their chosen idea or vocation. They themselves have been chosen and called to the task. We need to know that and understand that in our hearts. Next verse says this. Jesus in his prayer, he's praying to God. The disciples are listening in. John records this. Jesus is speaking to the Father just before he goes to the cross. And he says, Father, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. In the same way that you sent me with all the grace and all the love and all the power and the authority of heaven on my life, I've given them the same so that they can do what you asked me to do. Now there are millions like me across the world, Father. That's awesome, isn't it? That's pretty amazing. And this is right before the cross. And Jesus is praying before the Father and is reinforcing his commission to his followers and by extension to us. They are right, and our right to carry grace and good news into the world is given us by Jesus, who endorses us before the Father. Do you need anything more than that? Is there anything else you are waiting for? Is there any other stamp of approval or endorsement that you want other than the Son of God right before the cross endorsing you as one that he has sent to go on mission? What else are you waiting for? Huh? One more verse. Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, I looked this up in dictionary, and I looked it up in the Greek, and this word, everyone, do you know what it means? It means everyone. It's amazing. It actually meant everyone. Everyone. Not most, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a bit of confidence beginning to rise in the heart. What do you mean? That everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Yes, everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. But here's, listen to this. How can they call on the one that they've not believed in? That's a fair point, isn't it? It's a good question. How can you call on one that you don't believe in? And how can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? Fair point. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And then here's the line of the verse. And how can they preach unless they are sent? How can we be effective in our communication of the message unless that power and presence of God is on us? How can we be effective in communicating the love of God to a broken world without the power and the presence of the Spirit in our lives? Unless we are sent with that God authority on us and we carry it with servant humility, knowing that we are no better than anybody else, just sinners saved by the same grace. But to go and share that with a humility and a warmth that wins and attracts the hearts of lost men and women to the King. Come on, somebody can say amen to that. Yes. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of the one who brings such good news. It is the power and the authority of the one who sends that guarantees our success in mission, not our skills, our techniques, or our methods. Correct? See, we can have all the skills and all the techniques and the methodology and all the stuff and try it this way and that way. Listen, the thing that really matters is this, that the power and the authority of the one who sends us is upon our lives. That is what guarantees our success. That is what brings fruit, not the structures, not the procedures, not the protocol by which we do it. You understand? Come on. And that's what we need to be, people who know that this power is resting upon us as a people, as individuals, but importantly, as a corporate body, as a church, that as we move into a mission phase, as we move into a mindset of mission, that we understand that this is where we are. And this is what God is saying to us. That's what makes the difference. Final verse, Jesus said this, all authority, and I looked this up as well, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Do you believe that he said that? Do you believe that he meant that? Do you believe that he knew that was so? All authority in heaven and on earth, that's every authority I can think of, is given to me. Therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all nations, and I'm with you every step of the way. I mean, do we need much more than that in order to send us out? Here's a few sentences as I finish. And if you agree with these, say so. How's that? And we'll finish on a good note. How's that? All right. We are empowered to extend the kingdom. Agreed? All right. We are anointed to proclaim the message. We are appointed to fruitfulness. We are authorized to act on behalf of God in our world. Come on, that's a good one, isn't it? Yeah. We are commissioned to accomplish the goals of the kingdom. We are delegated to represent God to the people we live amongst. We are ordained to increase and multiply. We are equipped to pioneer for the kingdom. We are enabled to break through opposition and obstacles. We are destined to win. Now, how much more do you want or need before we get going? The power and the authority of the risen, ascended, glorified Jesus is upon our lives. And he is saying to us, go. And I'll tell you this, at this moment in Wales, the canopy of prayer from all around the world that is landing into our beautiful country is immense. The voice of prophets right around the globe is telling us over and over, God has Wales on his agenda again. Many people that I speak to across the world are saying, oh, you wouldn't believe what's happening. And I was talking to some pastors in the States, and they told me this, that their prayer meetings are being invaded by the Holy Spirit, and people are in tears and broken for the lost people in Wales. Come on. Do you think God's up to something? Do you think he's got something going on? Do you think it's time for his church in Wales to rise up and get some courage and to understand that we've been called and commissioned and empowered and sent, and that as we go, that he will be with us every step of the way, and we just need the courage of our convictions to say, yes, God, here I am, send me. Amen? Amen. Pete, I'm going to pass back to you.